From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, One Look from the Lord. The text is in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? What a look was that which the Lord gave to Gideon! He looked him out of his discouragements into a holy bravery. If our look to the Lord saves us, what will not his look at us do? Lord, look on me this day, and nerve me for its duties and conflicts. What a word was this which Jehovah spoke to Gideon? Go! He must not hesitate. He might have answered, What, go in all this weakness? But the Lord put that word out of court by saying, Go in this thy might. The Lord had looked might into him, and he had now nothing to do but to use it and save Israel by smiting the Midianites. It may be that the Lord has more to do by me than I ever dreamed of. If he has looked upon me, he has made me strong. Let me by faith exercise the power with which he has entrusted me. He never bids me idle away my time in this my might. Far from it, I must go because he strengthens me. What a question is that which the Lord puts to me, even as he put it to Gideon. Have not I sent thee? Yes, Lord, thou hast sent me, and I will go in thy strength. At thy command I go, and going, I am assured that thou wilt conquer by me.
Thank you.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Perverting the Privileges of God's Grace. In verses 17 through 29 of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul explains the privileges enjoyed by the people of Israel, that chosen race to whom God gave the Old Testament scriptures. Yet Paul also shows how Israel abused those privileges, for they came to regard outward religious observance as equal with acceptance by God, ignoring the righteousness which alone could give them a right standing before God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Although they knew the truth of God in their heads, they had no heart experience of Christ, without which no man can be saved. As Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Mere intellectual assent to the gospel is not enough. In addition, the Jews' reliance on the law alone for salvation affected those around them, producing a deadly attitude of self-confidence. How many people have been led astray by the example of friends or loved ones who rested in their own righteousness for deliverance from hell? Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, perverting the privileges of God's grace.
The will of God is that sinners, instead of papering over the vile leprosy of their sin with their own self-righteousness, would confess their sin and trust in the atoning sacrifice of God's appointed Lamb. That's the will of God. And then His will is that those who profess His name should obey His law. And that's as true in the New Testament as the Old. In the New Testament, quoting the Old, we are told that when He saves us, in fact, this is a definition of regeneration, He writes His law in our hearts. I can never understand how people hold that once you're regenerated, you're free from all duty to fulfill by personal obedience the law of God, when God actually defines regeneration as His inscribing the law upon the fleshy tables of our hearts. This is the will of God, says Paul, even your sanctification. So the Jews knew God's will. When you come, listen to the word of God, you gain a knowledge of the will of God. As the result, Paul says to the Jews, you're able to approve things that are more excellent. There's a little discussion among linguists and commentators as to the full meaning of that. Obviously, there's the meaning that our translators give it. You have such a knowledge of God's law, you have such a knowledge of what is right and what is good, that you can approve the things that are excellent. But there is, in the language of Paul, the idea of discriminating, being able to look at complex moral and spiritual situations and discriminate not only between right and wrong, but what is more excellent. You can draw lines of distinction, lines of differentiation on the basis of the truth of God. Why? Because you have been instructed out of His law. Now let me pull all that together. You would think if I talk to a person, say, you know the true and living God, you do not worship idols, you have a knowledge of God's will through the study of God's word, you approve things that are excellent, and you can discriminate on the basis of what you know from Scripture, you're instructed out of God's book, you would think I was describing a Christian. And of course I may be, for that is true of every Christian. But here's the awful searching truth. Paul addressed this to people who were lost. Here are the privileges then that come with association with the visible church. Now let me look for a moment at the perversion of those privileges by many people so associated with the church. Notice what Paul says, verse 17, you're called a Jew. The first perversion of these privileges of the gospel is bearing the name of God's people without the nature. You're called a Jew. The word Jew, in many people's estimation, is a name of disparagement. I must say, if there's one thing I detest and hate, and I realize those words mean much the same thing, but I'll go on and add more if you want. It's the anti-Semitism that even sometimes, sadly, and I can't understand how and why, is able to masquerade under the name of the gospel and under the name of Christianity. How a man can be a Christian and a hater of Jews, indeed how a man can be a Christian and be a hater, period, is something I can't understand. How you can be in fellowship with the God of love and be full of hatred is a conundrum that I have never been able to work out. In fact, I would say you'll either have to get rid of your hatred and get right with God or go to hell with your hatred. And that's being very blunt. This word Jew is not a word of disparagement. It's not a word to despise. It's a word with an honorable history. Many believe that it is, as far as its etymology goes, connected with the idea of Judah, that it has the idea of praise to God. Be that as it may, this was certainly an honorable calling. You are called a Jew. You bear the name of a Jew. If I ask you what you are, you'll say, I'm a Jew. It's the name of God's people. But look at you, and there's nothing whatsoever about you to indicate that there's anything of the nature of a child of God. As he says, verse 28, he's not a Jew which is one outwardly. There's nothing in the heart to correspond with the name. Now, I want to stop right there. I'm not speaking to Jews tonight, but I am speaking to people who have been brought up in association with the visible Church of Christ. I'm speaking to people who from their earliest days have had all these privileges that I have been mentioning from the Word of God. And if anybody asks you, what are you? You'll say, I'm a Christian. I want to ask you tonight, is it true of any of you that you have the name, but nothing of the nature of a child of God? That's what we're probing. Being called a Jew doesn't save anybody. Being called a Christian doesn't make that person a Christian. Follow this through this passage. Paul is speaking to these people about their perversion of these privileges. He's saying, you have possession of the law. Sure, but where's the performance of it? He emphasized in the passage we were dealing with last week that they were hearers of the law, but they were not doers. They had lip service, but they did not have life service. They had head knowledge, but they had no heart experience of the things of which they spoke. Again, I want us to lift it out of first century Jewry into 21st century Christianity. Are you here tonight with a head knowledge but without any heart involvement with Jesus Christ? I find Christians, in fact, I've never found a true Christian of whom this is not true, Christians lamenting that their heart is not what they wanted to be and where they wanted to be. Oh, for grace to love him more. That is the cry of a Christian's heart. And I am not here tonight to cause Christians who already yearn for a heart that burns more for Christ to doubt salvation because their heart is not perfect. But I find that there are many in the church. Let me take a step aside here when I say many. When I hear the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world saying that he reckoned in his all supposedly born again membership of the church, he reckoned that 85% or more of them were still in their sins. You see why I say many in the church. Have no heart at all. No yearning, no love for Jesus Christ. And when I say if you have no heart for Christ, you're not saved, I am not introducing some new doctrine. The Apostle Paul said to a professing bunch of believers, or a bunch of professing believers, he said, 1 Corinthians 16, he says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And it's easy for us to say anathema means cursed. Oh, it does. But the idea comes from the Old Testament sacrificial system, and it paints an awful picture. It means that which is devoted to God for the burning fire of His wrath. If any man knows not the Bible, doesn't say that. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to become a Christian. Don't misunderstand that statement or run the wrong way with it. I'm simply saying that people can get saved having heard the basics of the gospel even once. So it's not he who does not have a great knowledge, he who cannot find his way through Calvin's Institutes, he who, you can go down the line, doesn't say any of those things. What it says is, if you love not the Lord Jesus, you may have a head knowledge, you may possess the law, but you've perverted the privilege to your own destruction. Paul is criticizing these people for perverting grace by reliance on the law without righteousness. It's amazing the views that the Jews held, but no more amazing when you think of some of the things that are held in Christendom today. Charles Hodge quoted from some of the ancient Jewish authorities. With views like these, our rabbins have said, no circumcised soul will see hell. No circumcised man will see hell. Again, circumcision saves from hell. Another Jewish authority, God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised should be sent to hell. And yet another, Abraham sits at the gate of hell and does not allow that any circumcised Israelite should enter there. These were the views that Paul was combating. There was a reliance on the law and its ritual, but there was no righteousness of life. Now cast your mind back over what we were considering in weeks past, where the emphasis would be on God judging every man according to his works. Men are not saved by works. I took time to try and point out how Paul was very careful in his language. When he speaks of works producing anything, it's condemnation. Men are not saved by their works. But understand this, if men are saved by grace through faith, God's Holy Spirit will produce works of holiness in their lives. Works of genuine righteousness. And while it is true that you are saved by faith without works, you will never go to heaven if there are no works that prove the genuine reality of saving grace. These people had a system, but they had no Savior. They had no salvation. These people had the externals, but nothing in the internals. Thus they were boasting in God, but there was no basis for their boasting. There was confidence, but there was no basis for their confidence. There was presumption. If there's one thing that I believe, that I detect, and it's a very widespread spiritual malady. There's one thing I believe that I detect today in church after church after church. It is the sin of presumption. It is amazing when you see people who can glibly tell you they're Christian, they're going to heaven. They can just slough off any gospel witness that's given to them. They put up the defense just as these Jews did. They have all the privileges, and they pervert those privileges to bask in the light that they have, even though it has produced no light in their lives. Men and women, I'm here to tell you tonight, faith is not presumption, and presumption is not faith.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.